Welcome to Dr. Red Says. Our show is all about taking charge of your mental, physical, and spiritual health. We'll answer your questions about the various healing modalities. And most of all, we're going to have some fun. Now, here's your host, Dr. Red.
Good afternoon, America. This is October. It's the month of ghosts and ghouls and witches and vampires. And we have to talk about the vampires because I've had to live with this my whole life. People are talking about racial profiling. My grandfather was named Moskovich, and he came from Transylvania. And we stay up all night, and we don't like the sunshine. And we're Jewish, so we don't wear crosses. So everybody all my life thought I was a vampire. It's not funny, you guys. However, the legend of vampires came from a real illness, and these people could not go out in the sunshine. It's called porphyria. The sunshine literally burns them up. And maybe they were a little needy, and I don't know, maybe they needed blood transfusions. But so there's some realism to the myth of the vampire. Now, here's the other thing. There are some real vampires out there, and you've all met them. They're called psychic vampires. So what is a psychic vampire? It's somebody who feeds off the energy of others. They're usually pretty negative and self-pitying, and spending time with them leaves us exhausted. They almost always have a problem they need help with. They're constantly looking to you to fix it, and they get in this negative cycle of needing attention of others to feel better about themselves. So how can you protect yourself? Well, there's a couple of quick things I'm going to tell you, and then I'm going to bring in an expert because I think you need an expert for this. You can limit your time with them if you can recognize them. You can choose your activities carefully. You can practice your own self-care. You can protect your energy, and so she's going to have to tell us how you do that. And then check that you're not becoming a psychic vampire yourself. You know that once you get beaten in the neck, then you become a vampire too. So these are some things that you need to do, but I'll tell you what, it sounds a lot easier and it looks a lot easier when you Google it than it is in real life. So we found a lady who is an expert on these matters. And let me tell you about her. This is amazing. Dr. Kirkpatrick holds a doctorate in parapsychic sciences. That is so cool. And is a Reiki master. She's a graduate of Intuitive Insights and has been teaching for over 20 years. She also studied the Silva Method, Tony Robbins Seminars, the Bronnikoff Method. You may not know some of these, but we'll tell you about them. The American Institute of Holistic Theology and the School of Healing Arts. But this is a really cool one. One of her mentors, because I took his course too, Bert Goldman, he's now 92, trained her personally to present quantum jumping. And that's a whole other show. That's so exciting. She's had her own holistic healing business since 1990. So she practices Reiki, massage therapy, hypnotherapy, animal communication, intuitive life coaching, spiritual tantra, and teaches all of these. And her passion is facilitating awakening and wholeness for humans and animals. I love that the animals are in there. Now, in her spare time, because she has so much, she's currently writing 3 books. So I would like to introduce you to the amazing Dr. Yvonne Kirkpatrick. Hi, Dr. Yvonne.
Hi, everybody. How are you?
I'm great as long as nobody comes at me with garlic or a steak.
I left my garlic at home.
Oh, good. Yeah, it's ridiculous. People are, I don't know anymore, but when I was growing up, because I'm in my 70s, everybody was superstitious. Now, you didn't walk under a ladder. People hated black cats, which, you guys, if you want a black cat, keep them in during the month of October, because there are idiots out there that want to harm your black cat. And so we were so superstitious. Black cats are lucky in Japan, but we get these ideas, and some of it is just pure fiction, but some of it is not. And that's where we have to get into this. There are psychic vampires out there. I mean, have you ever walked in a room and somebody walks in after you and just sucks all the air out of the room? So you wouldn't want to get near that person. Now, how did you even get into this business?
So actually, when I was a child, my grandmother had you know, she was wonderful because she never had the superstitions and she never had the doubts when I would tell her I was seeing ghost or spirit. And one of the things that she was telling me was that I had to protect myself from people, from the bad people, she called them. And, and what she really meant was my mother, because my mother suffered from depression and alcoholism. And so she did have a number of just kind of wild ups and downs all the time and just really, really negative energy. And you felt like you were on eggshells most of the time.
Oh, wow.
So my grandmother just said, you know, you just have to don't blame yourself. Don't get caught up in her stuff. And imagine, well, having a bubble of light around you. And that way her stuff can stay outside of your bubble.
That's cool. Yeah, you have you're going to have to tell us more about that. Second half, you're going to tell us how to do that. But seriously, nowadays, the world is turning quite negative, and you almost have to have that protection around you. But now, do you have it all the time, or do you just put that up when you see somebody that you know is going to be bad for you?
Well, you know, I don't use the bubble per se anymore, because what I discovered was that bubble, not only did it keep people's energies out, it also kept my energy in, and it was kind of like that miscommunication. So I learned other techniques. And, you know, I learned some other people and then created different techniques as well. And one of those about that invisible cloaking device, I have to warn about. If we have time later, I want to tell a really, really strange story that happened with the cloaking device. Caused me to have 3 car accidents because they couldn't
see. My goodness. Oh, now you got to tell us because that's too intriguing.
Okay. So anyway, I had this little Mazda RX-7 back when, and I love little sports cars. I love the speed. And so I didn't want to be standing out to police. So I imagined I had a cloaking device over my car so I wouldn't get caught.
Okay.
So I'm coming up on a street, and somebody just, you know, like runs right into me. She goes, oh, my God, I didn't see you. You know, I looked both ways.
Oh, wow.
I didn't see you. So that was the first time. The second time I was at the parking lot in a grocery store, and I was waiting for a spot to open up, and this woman just backed right into me out of her spot. Again, oh, I didn't see you. And third time, the car was actually just sitting parked. And this woman, like, backed right into it. And when she said, I didn't see you, I said, oh, okay, I better readjust. So then I readjusted my cloaking device to only include police that were looking for speeders, because I didn't want it to be police that were looking to help you if you were broken down on the side of the road. I just wanted only the police with their little radar. So,
wow.
So I fine-tuned my cloaking device and been happy ever since.
That's amazing. You know, because people, we talk about this stuff, and now, you know, you guys, you do have to practice a little bit with some of this, but people will say, well, I tried that and it didn't work. And usually the thing is you didn't believe it enough. So can anybody learn how to do this stuff?
Absolutely. And where you start is where you are right now. If, say, for example, there's an issue going on in your life, then what you do is there's many, many different tools you can use, and just start practicing with one or two of them. Don't get overwhelmed. Start small. Don't wait until there's a huge problem. Just start with smaller things, you know, and we can work with, you know, the energy. But we also teach classes on clairvoyance, so anybody can learn how to be a clairvoyant. We all have that ability. We all have a pineal gland, and it's just about activating it and also doing house cleaning to sweep away all the negativity that we were brought up with.
Which do you think is harder for most people, to clear out the negativity or bring in the new stuff?
Well, bringing in the new stuff has its benefits because it gives you a focus. Like, I can focus on, you know, like, say the color yellow. So if any negativity is around me, I can just focus on yellow. Okay, sometimes it's difficult to know what we're trying to release. And so also, as we're releasing things, we need to have something to fill it back up with. Otherwise, the old will come back in.
Okay. I can see that because we're both hypnotherapists. And when you're trying to get someone to stop smoking, you can't just say stop that habit because it's a habit.
No.
Yeah, and they'll try to find some other habit and it could be worse. So you do have to fill the hole.
Exactly. And, you know, what's a really interesting thing that you mentioned, hypnotherapy, is with the smoking and hypnotherapy, I'll paint a story about, you know, they're non-smokers as opposed to wanting to quit smoking.
Oh, that's great.
And non-smokers don't put those things in their mouth.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, it's just creating a different pathway for the brain to pick up on different words.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing because you kind of, I don't know if you've done much with the NLP, which is neuro-linguistic programming, but you think of your body as a computer, if you put the wrong language in there, you're going to get the wrong program. So a lot of us, if we learned hypnotherapy, you know, eons ago, everything was, I don't do this, I'm not that. Our subconscious doesn't like those negative words, so you're defeating yourself.
And it doesn't register don't and not.
Right.
It hears you say, instead of saying don't eat chocolate, eat chocolate.
Yeah. Seriously, and my big thing, because I had to lose 150 pounds, I kept saying I want to lose 150 pounds. I don't want to be a loser. So you can't use that word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can't use those words. But you can say I'm an entrepreneur.
The mind loves to become and it loves to gain.
This is true. And actually, people, I know they have a hard time with visualizing. For me, it was visualizing myself in a size 6 outfit. They say, well, I can't see that. So now I've gotten to visualize, imagine, picture, or pretend. You can do one of those.
Mm-hmm. Yep, fake it to make it. And if you've been there before, you have a point of reference and you know how to get there again.
That's true. Yeah, if you haven't, it's a little harder. But, you know, I don't know how I feel about the vision boards where you can cut out pictures of things and slap them up on your wall and concentrate on them. If they weren't me, I'm going, well, you know, that's not me. So it doesn't work for me, but I know it does work for a lot of people, putting up what they want.
Right. Yeah, and if you can remember the feelings that you had when you were at that size 6, say, for example, you had a bad experience when you were that size, your subconscious is not going to let you get there. Because you're going to re-experience whatever that was. But if you can remember a good time you had when you were a size 6, fun times, bring all the sensations into your life, you know, the feelings, the memories, you know, like you're there again, then, you know, it plays with you and it goes, oh, yeah, I want to do that again. Oh, yeah, that was great.
That's interesting. Yeah, fortunately, mine wasn't because of overeating, so I didn't have the guilt. It was because of medications, gaining all the weight. But the thing about this, and especially people who have a lot of guilt, for some reason, psychic vampires, when they do glom onto you and want to have a pity party, how do they know your stuff? I mean, it's like they can suck your stuff right out of you.
You know, it's really funny. It's like they can smell you a mile away. And, you know, it's not only are the psychic vampires, you know, because we healers happen to be very empathic. And, you know, we shake our head a lot. Yes, I understand. Yes. Tell me more. And next thing you know, boom, they got you. And they get the straw right in you, sucking out, you know, your energy.
That's interesting.
And they don't always know that they're doing that. You know, they're, you know, say, for example, you know, they feel like, you know, yesterday's dog stuff, and then they come and they see you, and they're like, "Wow, you know, you have all the answers." They love to butter you up, you know. Oh yeah, you know, tell me more. And as they're unloading their stuff, you're just absorbing, you know, their negativity, and they have just taken your positive feelings, and they walk away with their head held high. Wow, I feel much better now.
Okay, so the first thing we have to do is to learn how to get rid of that stuff before we can learn how to protect ourselves from getting more?
So here's the thing. There really is no getting rid of, like with hypnotherapy, we don't try to lose anything or get rid of anything. But what we do is we want to change our vibration. And as we raise our vibration to a higher level, then it's almost as though they can't be in the same room with us because it hurts.
Uh-huh.
You know, they say misery loves company, so they will find a way to kind of you know, bring you down. And then it's like, aha, we match now. It's like with an LP, aha, we got the entrainment thing going on. And now I'm going to take over and dump all my stuff on you. And, you know, you do with whatever you have to do to get rid of it.
Okay. So, yeah. So there are these people that say, oh, I hate perky people. So is that why? Is that why? Well, because they can't take the vibration?
It's because, number one, they decided the rewards that they gain from being miserable are greater than the rewards of being a positive person. So when they're around a perky person, then it reminds them of their negativity. And it reminds them also, you know, it's like, I can't match that. I can't live up to that. So I'm going to hate them instead.
Huh. Well, it probably is easier to hate than to love someone, and that's unfortunate. When I was learning all my things that I do, I'm an angelologist and an angel healer, but Dorian Virtue had this class, like angelology, and people go, well, what the heck is that? And I said, well, gee, you know what demonology is. Why would you not guess what angelology is?
Right,
so people will study negativity first. They don't even want to go near the positive stuff. What? That's crazy.
Well, imagine there's a car accident and everybody has to, like, slow down and look. They want to see gore.
Oh, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
We're programmed that way. Now, if there's, like, you know, somebody helping, you know, an elderly person across the street, do you think they're going to stop and ooh and ah at that? No.
Yeah, they usually walk the other way if they see somebody struggling. They see somebody struggling, they'll cross the street. It's very sad.
Yeah, yeah. And, yeah. So, so the thing that you said about the angels, yeah, it's almost like the demonology has a much stronger presence in people's subconscious minds. You know, and I think it's because, you know, parents will teach us to fear the boogeyman and to fear, you know,
yeah,
the devil and things of that nature. So instead of, you know, how the subconscious works, instead of fearing it, it's like putting it, don't think about black hat, so you're going to be thinking about black hat.
Yeah. Right now, it's kind of scary because there are a lot of shows on TV. There are a lot of ghost shows. Now, I like you, I do see spirit, and I can talk to the other side. But I've never met an evil ghost, and it's like, I don't know if they're making up these shows or they just have found every negative ghost on the planet on these shows, mm-hmm, and they scare people to death.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you, there is a force on the planet that just loves to, for lack of a better word, eat this negative energy. So it's a lot of fear-mongering going on to stir up this negativity just so that they're like, you know, it's coming out of people like fumes, and they're going, ah, delicious, you know. So knowing that, you know, we have many tools that we can learn to fight back with.
Well, how do you do that? First of all, how do you spot somebody? I mean, if you're not an empath, most of us empaths can feel it the minute we walk in a room. But if you're not an empath and you're going, say, to a county luncheon and they're all different representatives from all over the county, and how do you know which ones are you don't want to sit next to?
Okay, so here's the thing. Before I would even step foot in a place where there's going to be a lot of people, I'll sit in the car for a moment, and I'll ground, run my energy, and I'll put, you know, like I'll call back my energy from wherever I may have left it, and I will raise my vibration, okay? So, and I make it like I'm a magnet, and I'm going to attract, you know, I'm going to sit next to who's kind of on my same wavelength. So I will feel where to be drawn to. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with sitting next to a negative person because, you know, you may have some words of wisdom for them and vice versa. But that is always the first thing that I do is I like to ground, clean myself out before I step into a crowd of people.
Yeah, that's a great idea. And then if you do attract a negative person, you are already protected, or do you say, "Oh, here comes trouble," and put a shield?
No, I don't jump to the "Oh, here comes trouble." I don't care what it looks like. I fear no evil. I went through this thing where I trained myself, you know, that everything is energy. Okay, we can put a label. It's good. It's bad. It's negative. It's positive. So instead, it's like, Do I want to experience this or do I not want to experience that? And that way I stay kind of neutral as opposed to, you know, getting scared or feeling like I must hurry and protect myself. But to answer your question, I do have my protection things up. You know, I'll use different things like roses, for example. I'll have a protection rose. It has my face inside it. So if anybody's going to throw energy at me, it goes into that rose and not into me. And then later I can just take that rose and just throw it away and, you know, let it ground out the energy.
Yeah, I'm big on the crystals. And my poor husband, who's had three heart attacks already from Agent Orange, he encounters some interesting people in his work. So I just had him put this little rhodochrosite heart in his pocket. So if anything gets sucked in there, we can clean it, you know, and then he's back to good again.
That's wonderful. Yeah, that's great. Yeah, there's so many different tools we can use and make them up, you know, on the fly as we're going. But always knowing that we're always protected and, you know, whether we call it our higher self or a supreme being, some people call it God, whatever we want to call that force that protects us, we feel safer. And then I have little mantras I do throughout the day, like a mantra is like a sentence, you know, it's a powerful sentence that is programming me. For example, before I go to bed at night, I'm brushing my teeth, I'll say something like, I feel safe, secure, and protected. And then I'll go to sleep and, you know, have a nice sleep and, you know, wake up rested in the morning. So, you know, I can't remember the last time I've had nightmares.
Wow. Yeah, that's a big thing. This show is basically aimed at military and veterans and those who love them. Have an awful lot of people with PTS, but, you know, you can get post-traumatic stress from car accidents. I mean, you just mentioned some. So post-traumatic stress can tend to lead to nightmares. And anything we can do, I'm using frankincense on my husband, but there are anything you can do to prevent those nightmares. You know, that's a great idea.
Yeah, and one of the other things, too, is, you know, like you do with the frankincense and, you know, lavender. And then another thing, and I do this with clients who suffer, is do what I call like a rewind. Rewind them starting from here, like they're a tape, you know, like a VCR tape. I rewind it back to the point where that incident happened. We kind of clean it up, erase it, put in happy, you know, whatever, something happy, and then fast forward to present time again. So they are actually living with a memory of a happy time. And it seems like it cancels out that negative energy, so they can just kind of leave it back in the past.
Absolutely. There's, in fact, a whole modality called timeline therapy where they do that. Mm-hmm. And it's great for single incidents. I'm finding it a hard time with my guys that have been in wars because it's like every day is a nightmare.
Correct.
And I can understand that.
It's constant.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's constant. And, you know, as you know, if you're in something, I mean, even like as little as 30 days, that puts a whole new programming, you know, into their space. And it's a tricky one to reverse.
Yeah, but fortunately, the world is getting a little better. I'm so sorry what they did to Marianne Williamson and called her the Crystal Lady and made fun of her, because the world is 100% made of vibration. All of this is just pure physics. So all these guys that are poo-pooing everybody and saying this is woo-woo stuff, no, it's not. It's actually more science than you know.
And, oh, absolutely.
And I wish they would get off of that, because it is the vibration and energy movement. And I know we're going to talk about Reiki, because I love this. I'm a Reiki master. And you talk about animals. And if you ever want to verify a healing modality, do it on an animal, because you can't trick them. It's not the placebo effect on a dog. He doesn't know what you're doing. But if he's cut,
that's for sure.
If he's cut and he stops whining because you did Reiki on him and he stops licking the wound, then Reiki worked.
Absolutely. You know, it's funny, cats love when there's Reiki going on in the room and they will just swarm. They love the Reiki energy.
This is so funny. My producer, and bless her heart, her name is Tacy Trump. So she gets a lot of negativity. She makes cold calls and she says, my name is Tacy Trump. And they hang up or they say something obscene because her name is Trump. But she has a cat right now who is ill. And she said, you know, if I do Reiki in the room, it's so powerful. It like knocks her out. And I don't think it's good for her. So she sent me her picture, Katie's picture. I'm sorry. She has a Katie and a cutie. And she said, could you just do Reiki on the picture? Because I'm afraid I'm overloading her. And I think the cats just suck it up so easily.
Oh, they do. They do. And photos are a great way, by the way, to do healing on animals. You know, I had somebody, I did an experiment with somebody at their home, and I had the photo, and I did the healing on, it was actually a dog. And I said, okay, so I'm going to do it at this such and such time. So I want you to watch Lola and see how, you know, how she reacts at, you know, 5:05. So I did it right on the dot, and my person wrote back, I can't believe it, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's like running over to the door like she was expecting you to walk through that door.
Huh. Yeah. That is so cool.
So they they're truly sensitive to everything, you know. And we need to take care of them because they don't always know how to ground, you know, this energy off of them. And you'll see animals, like dogs in particular, looking like they're human. And after so many years go by, because they're picking up the energy of the human and they're just morphing into that human.
Oh, I love the animals that look like they're smiling at you. You know, dogs and cats, sometimes they can get the cutest little smile. You know, and that's neat because cats don't exactly wag their tails. The neat thing about cats, though, is they have different frequencies of purrs, and those different frequencies heal different parts of your body. So they're one for broken bones, one for muscles. So these are such intelligent animals, and when people are not nice to animals, it just really drives me crazy because I think animals are better healers than we are, and so we have to take care of them.
Yeah, and animals are better people than we are many times.
This is true. They certainly aren't insulting, most of them will share their food. I mean, they're pretty good about that. But
you'll never catch an animal cutting you off on the freeway.
This is true. Although I did do a picture. I love to ride horses, and I did this one picture. I was sitting on the horse, and I wrote the caption: "Does this human make my butt look big?" I mean, I wonder if they really like somebody sitting on their back, or Halloween's coming up. Do I really have to wear this pumpkin costume? I'm a Rottweiler, you know. So, unless you can talk to them. We're going to talk about that when we come back, because we do have just a couple of minutes before the break. We're going to talk about animal communication. You can actually talk to them, and everybody goes, yeah, that's crazy. I don't know, because I have a friend who's an animal communicator, and she said to me, I had a beautiful purple and rhinestone collar for my cat with a little crystal in it. She said, you know, your cat says, if you like this necklace so much, you wear it.
How cute. Yeah.
So my cat now is naked. She doesn't go outside anyway, but she's now naked and very happy.
Oh.
She didn't like that. It was a beautiful collar, but she didn't want it. So they can tell you.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I one of my books I'm writing, in fact, is on animals, and it's just, you know, it's just amazing. Once we tune into their world, you know, how richer our world becomes.
This is so cool. So when we come back, can you tell us a little bit about animal communication, and can you do it for all of them? And that is so neat. I am so into this right now. We've got a lot of dolphin and whale consciousness going on, and they not only supposedly can communicate with you, but they can come in their astral bodies and actually come visit you. You know, so you take a bath, and when it'll come in the bathtub with you. So I want people to find out how they can get acquainted with that, because right now I'm sure half of our listeners going, she's crazy. I mean, no dolphin ever came to my bathtub. So when we come back, you're going to have to explain how they can do that and how you can actually move your consciousness around and what you can do with it. So we will be right back with our angel of amazing things, just too many to mention, Dr. Yvonne Kirkpatrick.
It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed. VoiceAmericaEmpowerment.com.
If you've got no success, perhaps you need success no therapy. Dr. Red, aka Dr. Sarah Young, uses hypnotherapy, Reiki, aromatherapy, EFT, NLP, angel healing, card reading, and even basic common sense in order to find out what you need and how to get you there. Dr. Red is also a psychic medium, and if you're outside Southern California, Dr. Red can present distance healing sessions. For more information about these and other services that Dr. Red offers, visit drsarahmyoung.net or call 858-860-0461. FaceTime and Skype sessions are also available.
Here's a question for you. You got no success? I've got the therapy. I'm Dr. Sarah Young, founder of Success No Therapy, and I'll help you define your success and choose the therapy that'll get it for you. You name it, hypnotherapy, aromatherapy, timeline therapy, NLP, EFT, crystals, angel healing, and more. They're all available anywhere in the world. Like my radio show, Dr. Red Says, we are here online 24/7. Visit www.drsarahmyoung.com or www.facebook.com/drredsays to arrange an appointment or call 858-860-0461. Blessings!
Build your better business. Achieve that goal. Make good on that resolution. The Voice America Empowerment Channel. It's your world. Motivate, change, succeed.
You are listening to Dr. Red Says. If you have a question or comment about the show today, we invite you to call into the program at 1-888-346-9141. That's 1-888-346-9141. You may also send an email to drredsays@gmail.com. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back, you all, to Betty Moskowitz Manor. We were talking on the break about the whales and the dolphins, and, you know, it's amazing that whales are, they're mammals, so they're just like us, and they have live children, and they and the live children get their milk from the beginning from them, and then they learn how to do other things. So they're exactly like us, only they live in water, and they have bigger brains. So, duh. And that's why there's like 80 countries now that are protecting whales, even if they aren't an ocean boundaried country, even if they're inland, they still want to protect whales because they know they're smarter than we are. So here's the thing. There are a lot of animals that are probably smarter than we are. And when somebody says it's just a dog or it's just a cat or we need to break this horse, that's so upsetting because if you could talk to them, Dr. Doolittle, can you talk to them?
Mm-hmm.
Can you?
Absolutely.
Okay. And how do you hear what they're saying?
Okay, so there is a, I want to say, for lack of a better word, a frequency, a station, a channel I tune into, and it's done with pictures, it's done with intentions. For example, when I was in Costa Rica, I was so excited, you know, to go through this rainforest, and I had my, you know, real fancy camera with me, and so I stepped into this path, and I mentally, this is done mentally, mind you, not talking like with my verbal, vocal voice, and I mentally said, I come in peace. I want to take photos of you guys, anybody who wants to be photographed so I can go back home and show everybody to not destroy your rainforest, please step forward, and if everybody behaves, nobody gets hurt. Okay, so within minutes, there's a coiled-up snake on the path, and I'm so excited. I'm just beside myself. I said, can I come up closer and get photos of you? And I hear a mental, yes, you may, and I come closer, I get photos of them, and I said, you know, you are extremely beautiful. Can I stretch you out with this stick? And I mentally showed me holding the stick in my hand and stretching him out. And I get a yes, you may, so I stretched him out, and really long, and I got nice photos of them, and I thanked him very much, and I went on the path, and I met another snake, big, huge, like 15-foot black, shiny snake, same thing, he says yes, but next thing you know, he is just jumping right into the river and running away from me, and I'm like, oh, wait a minute, you said yes, Well, minutes later, he comes back up on the bank right at my feet with a toad in his mouth, and he's raising it up at me. I brought you lunch. I couldn't believe it. I started laughing. I go, oh, my God. Wait till people see pictures of this. So they said, you know what, Mr. Snake, I already had lunch. You go right ahead and you eat it yourself. So, I mean, this was just a wild, you know, wild creatures. Well, later I find out the first snake I saw was called a Fertilance, and they're the most deadly pit vipers in the world. And he had no fear of me. I had no fear of him. And that is how we were able to communicate, because I respected him. I wanted to make the world a better place and use photos to do that. And so he was participating. And it was amazing. It was just amazing how they understood. But to answer your question about how you do it, I give a whole workshop on how to do this. And then we go to the Humane Society to practice. But the main connection is being respectful, grounding, and then mentally, you know, sending a hello to the animal. You know, hi, you're so beautiful. They love to hear that we acknowledge them in whatever way that is. And then I just start a conversation in my head with them, and I can hear, you know, them communicate back to me. So it's a really exciting thing. So if I sound excited, this is one of the areas of my work that I get the most excited about.
You see, oh, there we go. It is a particularly fertile field right now, because service animals are so amazing. They came here just to love you. I mean, they didn't come here to cause harm. We're the ones that are causing harm all over everywhere. So if you if you're going through this thing and you have been just sucked dry by a psychic vampire, if you come home and your dog is waiting and looking out the window and waiting at the door and wagging his tail, that will lift you right back up, right past where you were when you got, you know, attacked.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things, too, about animals, and, you know, they always sense when you're down, if you're sad, and they'll come over and just kind of nuzzle up against you. And just the action of petting them, you know, just petting that tactile feel of their fur does something. And then your heart opens up, because when we're attacked, we want to close down. So your pet is actually helping you to open back up your heart and to help you raise your vibration. And the two things in the world that will raise your vibration faster than anything else in the world is love and gratitude. So having that dog there and feeling the love, you will just feel like, oh, I just rose above Dante's Inferno. I mean, there's nothing can touch me now, because I feel this love in my heart for my dog.
Yeah, and if you guys don't happen to have a pet because you can't for some reason or other, when I get down, I mean, I have my cat and my birds, but sometimes in the middle of the night, I don't want to wake up the cat, you know, and I'm feeling down. I will just put on cat videos and, you know, animal videos. Any animal video will just make you so happy.
Mm-hmm. And not only that, you're laughing. You know, like if you see these antics, it makes you laugh. And just that laughter is the best medicine, because that raises your vibration as well. And things, depressive things, can't touch you when you're laughing.
Aha. Uh-huh. Yeah, it does change your body chemistry.
Exactly. And you notice how negative people that love to be in their little pity party, they don't like when people are laughing. Oh, my God.
This
you want to wipe
true.
That smile right off your face.
Well, and, you know, there's so much that has been said about this. I mean, all the way back, I don't know how long ago Norman Cousins wrote his book about laughter is the best medicine. But seriously, there are times when there is nothing else that can be done for a human, as far as I call them the mechanical doctors, MD, and traditional medicine can do for them. But laughter, for heaven's sake, it does the world of good, and it has known to cure people, and they don't know why.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think what it is, because, you know, we've got like millions and trillions of cells in our body, and if we can activate healing through laughter, that will go to each and every one of those cells, and all of a sudden the cells will wake up and go, oh, we feel good, we feel we have something to live for now. Whereas if you're feeling depressed and down in the dumps, all of those cells get the message, and they're like, oh, okay, I guess we have nothing to live for, and might as well just curl up and die in it. So,
even if you want to be alone, that we were talking about the whales and the dolphins, and they, all animals are healers, but the whales and the dolphins evidently are some kind of really super master healers. And they did, I don't know if you've listened to or seen Dr. Emoto's work where he has photographed water crystals.
Yep.
So the water crystals, if you yell at them, they're horrible. If you say, I love you, they're fine. Well, they went all the way to Japan, and they took the Tokyo tap water. Nobody could purify that Tokyo tap water, and then they played whale sounds to it. And cotton picking, it cleared up the tap water. Just listening to the whale sounds. That's vibration. That's not woo-woo, guys. It's not magic. It's vibration.
No.
They have a vibration that you can take a tape. You can watch them on YouTube. You can go see them in San Diego. We can go see them all the time when they're here. But if you live in Nevada, maybe not. But the vibration is there no matter what you do. And it travels through the air.
Yeah, and what about Fukushima? You know, they're trying, you know, spending billions of dollars to clean up this radiation in the ocean. And yet, I think the Japanese were still, catching or killing whales. But if they were to allow the whales to sing their song in the ocean near Japan, you know, what if that would clean up the water?
Probably would. I thought, you know, there are 80 countries now that have cruelty laws against dolphins and whales. And I would hope Japan would catch on to that, because seriously, even if they don't know how powerful these, and I don't even want to say animals, these co-creatures with us are, they still shouldn't be killing them. There's no reason for it. We have plenty of food and they're not menaces. So why would you want to kill something if you don't want to eat it or it's not attacking you?
Exactly, yeah. Yep, but, so I like to hold a higher vibration, a higher thought of these whales surviving and thriving and multiplying and just healing the planet, because, you know, that they have a big job ahead of them.
Yep, and we're two-thirds water. The ocean is, they have a majority, if we can just let them do their thing.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, it's wonderful. I love living in San Diego because you can go out there and you can see them. And when you watch them swim, you'll see rainbows form, above the surface of the water when they go in and out of the water. It's just amazing. So, you guys, we've been talking about things that you can't see. And so we didn't do this at the very beginning, but I always pull out an angel and a crystal card. And the angel brings you, it picks a crystal. And on one side of the card is the crystal and what you need to know about the crystal. On the other side is the angel that brought it to you. So today we're talking about lapidolite. And it says, have you been feeling depressed? Have you had mood swings? Which, if you go to something and sit by a negative person, you'll get that. It is time to restore your well-being. A joyful outlook on life can be yours. Take the necessary steps to shift your focus from that which troubles you to that which brings you joy. And this is brought to you by the angel of well-being. So if you've been listening to Dr. Yvonne, she's not a specialist in one thing. She is an angel of well-being. So here are the affirmations. If you don't catch them now, you can catch them 12 hours from now when it replays, and you can catch it tomorrow on the archives. But these affirmations are, I consistently maintain a balanced and joyful outlook on life. I am so grateful for an inner sense of well-being. I easily center my attention on the people, places, and things that bring me happiness. You say those three times, and they're kind of the antidote to psychic vampires. So the other thing is, you offer all these courses. Now, how do people get hold of you and find out all the stuff you do?
So here's, in fact, next Tuesday at 6 p.m., I have a psychic self-defense phone class happening. I do this a couple of times a year around the October-ish time for you know, for obvious reasons. And this is a really great one because you can do it on the phone. And we have myintuition.net is a site they can go to. And I have a call-in number and a code, you know, that they can log in if they want to take the class. It's just an hour. And so myintuition.net is where they can access the variety of different classes that I teach. And then next Monday, I'm doing quantum jumping. We were talking about Coleman. He just celebrated last week his 92nd birthday, and he's still going strong.
Wow. And then you have to, will you come back and do a whole hour on that? Because it is so fascinating, the entire subject of quantum jumping and quantum leaping, or whatever you want to call it. Because I think there was a show called Quantum Leap.
I love it. It's so much fun. It gives us permission to play and be creative and to, instead of, you know, like getting old and, you know, depressed, we get to be just highly sensitive and very creative and get out there and you know how children like to do make-believe? So this is kind of like takes make-believe to a whole new level.
Yeah, and we have to do this because adults are always shooting all over themselves. I should do this, I should do that, I should do that. And then they guilt themselves so bad that they don't have the energy to get up and do any of it. They go, oh my God, it's too much, I'm not going to do it anyway. So they've just should all over themselves, and then they can't clean it up because they don't know how.
And they wonder why they stink so bad, you know?
Yes. So, seriously.
So,
and
yeah,
you can,
it's a...
You can, it's you know, they say, animal, they say animals...
This.
I'm sorry, they say animals smell fear. You said they stink. People, psychic vampires can smell your mood.
They do, absolutely. And they will swarm. You know, you ever notice, like, misery loves company again. So you're out there, you're feeling kind of bad, and they're, like, swarming around you. You know, it's like, oh, good, here's somebody. I'm going to, you know, just hone right in. And first, you know, some of them can be very charming, very vivacious. They start out, you know, like, oh, hi, how are you? Oh, hi, honey. And the next thing you know, boy, how could they have gotten you even lower than you started out? But, so that's something to be careful of. And if we have time, you know, I just want to give a couple of pointers on how to put some protection around people. And
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. How about now?
Okay, perfect. So first of all, the first thing, I always call this Teddy and, Teddy is for thoughts and Waldo for words. So we always need to be aware of our thoughts. And if we catch our thoughts going down a dark road, we have control over those thoughts. We can bring those thoughts back to a memory of a good time. So by having good thoughts, positive thoughts, happy thoughts running through our programming, we can ward off the negative, okay? And then the second thing is the words, listening to our own words as we speak. So remember Waldo, you know, he's got to watch his words. So when we're speaking to people and we catch ourselves saying things like, simply like, oh, he killed me to see you.
I know he's a pain in the he's a pain in the butt. He's a pain in the neck. You will get you'll end up with a pain in your neck.
You do. And the thing is, it's like that is like programming. So if that has been programmed into us by parents, society, TV, whatever, we can deprogram ourselves as well if we want to. And it takes, you know, work. Every day we need to be at it, you know, but we do it by observing. And that is where the awareness comes in handy, because we listen to our words, and we're not going to beat ourselves up if we catch ourselves saying something. Because I'll tell you something, my dad is on a kick right now of whatever. He's like, blah, 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 whatever. And I'll tell you, every time I catch him saying that word, I will step in and I go, whatever.
Well, that's good. I haven't tried that, but I know that whenever you say something bad, you have to go, delete that. You know, so you say, I'm such an idiot. Delete that.
Yeah, delete, delete, cancel, cancel. Yeah,
seriously.
It's so funny because, yeah, it's such a, like that whatever is such a apathy feeling word, okay? And so I'm training, you know, him to find something in its place to say instead. So he'll laugh now when he's right in the middle, he'll, what? And he'll say the what, and his mouth will just like stop. But it's cute to watch him in action. Yeah. And then, so another thing that I really wanted to bring up is something very, very simple. It's called water. We touched on Emoto's water experiments.
Yes.
And this is something that I learned through Bert Goldman, is the glass of water technique. And I teach this to everybody I know because we have to drink water all day long. And if we take a glass of water and we quiet our minds, we hold a thought of what it is we want in our mind, whether that's peaceful, quietness, positiveness, whatever quality we want to have right now, we can program our water with that thought. And
absolutely.
Then this or something better is now coming to me. And then we drink the water and it goes to all those, you know, millions of cells to produce the result.
Yeah, and you know, we have a thing, I go to the Whale and Dolphin Healing School, so we have a thing where we take some water first and we say, water, I love you, water, you know, we do the whole Ho'oponopono, but we also say, please forgive us if we did anything to make you ill, like pollution, put chemicals in it, whatever, please forgive us, I love you, water, and it does, it changes the water, it tastes different. It's amazing. It's like when you
it
put
does.
Crystals in water, you can taste different,
yep.
different waters with different crystals
yep.
in them taste different.
Yeah, absolutely. We did a workshop once on turning water into wine. So we were holding the thought of the most delicious wine in our thoughts while we were holding our water and programming it. And then we did a wine testing afterwards and went around and tasted everybody's wine. And, of course, mine was sweet. I love sweet wine. And there were actually people who had vinegar. It tasted like vinegar. And it's like, okay. Now, is this just a figment of our imagination? Is this like a mass hypnosis here? Or did we really change the chemistry of the water?
Oh, I think you can change it. Absolutely. I think everybody should read Dr. Emoto's book because people, right now, there's such a panic about this whole climate change business.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, things are changing, but we didn't do all of it, and we will survive it. And when you go around panicking everybody about everything, I can't drink the water, I can't touch this, I can't eat this food. Oh, for heaven's sake, what can you do if you can't breathe? You can't breathe the air, you can't drink the water, you can't eat the food, and you can't associate with these people because they don't, you know, they're Democrats or, you know. Why are you on the planet then?
And this is one of the biggest things that I see that is dangerous to our freedom is this mass hysteria of, you know, you got to watch out. There's boogeyman's everywhere. You know, we're going to die, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, one of these days we will. I mean, that's just the nature of being human. But the thing is, when we buy into the program that, you know, all these things are bad, we start going down that path of bad, 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 bad. And then where do you get off, you know, this Ferris wheel and get back to, I remember when life was good. Good, good, good.
Yeah.
Good. That's what I want.
Yeah, you have to go on Nickelodeon and see Leave It to Beaver when June wore a dress and pearls to clean the house and her husband was very sweet.
I remember Leave It to Beaver.
And
I'm of an age where we had that when we were kids.
The kids could go out and play, and they didn't have to have a harness on and bomb a bulletproof vest and a bomb detector. I mean, this is San Diego. I don't think we need that stuff. And I would hate to have my children going out saying, "Okay, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that." Yeah, geez, Louise, how can you play?
Exactly, exactly. And then don't you dare go over that wall.
Oh.
You know,
I do. I am pretty wary of strangers right now, though. That one, I think I'll keep.
mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Well, remember the one important psychic self-defense tool is raising your vibration. If you were to walk down a dark alley at night, not because you want to, but say, you know, your car broke down or whatever, cancel, but, and you had to. You had to walk down, you know, someplace that people have told you to avoid because it's a bad part of town. You can raise your vibration to think of a something that just opens your heart and brings chills to your body, like, oh, like my pup, my dogs. I'm a dog. I have lots of dogs. And it's That'll like one it. In particular, my dog of my love of my life is one of my dogs. I'm like, oh, I melt. My heart melts. And so that will instantly raise my vibration so I can walk through any situation. And it's almost like they don't see me anymore because I am of a different vibration.
I kind of have to stop it on that, which is a good thought to stop it on because we've got like a minute. And next week, we're going to talk about something that's very similar. This lady wrote a book called Soul Selfish. It sounds terrible, but no, you know, sometimes we're raised with all of this negativity that we've been talking about. And Jane, who wrote the book, like Dr. Yvonne, went and learned some stuff and went, oh, well, you know what? It's not selfish to honor your soul. Actually, it helps people. And so she wrote a book about this, and I loved it because we had pretty much a similar background growing up. But so next week we're going to talk about Soul Selfish, and then I don't have my schedule for the next two. I know we're going to talk about some interesting body techniques. And then absolutely on Halloween, you guys, because we're on the 29th, we have a lady who wrote Mindfulness for Chocolate Lovers. You got to hear that. It's a fascinating book. It sounds like it's going to be silly, but it's one of the best self-help books I have ever read in my life. So this month of October, it could be scary or it could be the most fun month of the year. I like it better than Christmas time. But then I'm being told that we got to go. So you guys, until next week, it is okay to flip your wig, not okay to lose your mind. And thank you so much, Dr. Yvonne, for coming.
Thanks for tuning in this week to Dr. Red Says. Please join Dr. Sarah Young, a.k.a. Dr. Red, again next Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time and 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Empowerment Channel. In the next week, laugh in the face of adversity and move forward.